From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. On this particular broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, The Great Escape, dealing with the final petition in the prayer, But Deliver Us from Evil. The world is under the domination of a great force that produces all of the misery and the wickedness we see around us. And that force is sin, or what Christ refers to in this prayer as the evil. So pervasive is this evil that it even infects the professing church, seeking to lead people into all kinds of error regarding the gospel. Dr. Cairns will continue the message in just a few minutes. First, we call your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, High Places of Defense. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 16. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rock. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. The man to whom God has given grace to be of blameless life dwells in perfect security. He dwells on high, above the world, out of gunshot of the enemy, and near to heaven. He has high aims and motives, and he finds high comforts and company. He rejoices in the mountains of eternal love, wherein he has his abode. He is defended by munitions of stupendous rock. The firmest things in the universe are the promises and purposes of the unchanging God, and these are the safeguard of the obedient believer. He is provided for by this great promise, bread shall be given him. As the enemy cannot climb the fort nor break down the rampart, so the fortress cannot be captured by siege and famine. The Lord who rained manna in the wilderness will keep his people in good store even when they are surrounded by those who would starve them. But what if water should fail? That cannot be. His waters shall be sure. There is a never-failing well within the impregnable fortress. The Lord sees that nothing is wanting. None can touch the citizen of the true Zion. However fierce the enemy, the Lord will preserve his chosen.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is available in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org, at ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you soon.
There is a notion that what holds wickedness in check is greater education, greater prosperity, greater culture. That is simply not true. What holds wickedness in check is what theologians call the common grace of God. And as that is removed, whether men are educated or ill-educated, whether they are cultured or Philistine, You will see them indulge the wickedness that is native to their hearts. The wickedness of man is great in the earth. We read in Isaiah chapter 1 something that is usually taken as a description of man's depravity and man's sin. And I really don't have any great quarrel with that at all. It's true enough. But actually it's something much worse than a description of man's depravity. We read in Isaiah 1 verse 6 and 7, from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devoured in your presence. It's desolate as overthrown by strangers. As I say, there's something worse than a description of depravity here. What this is a description of the results of divine judgment. But such is the prevalence of wickedness that the Israelites would not admit that this was the judgment of God. They didn't believe that they were under judgment. If you want to get something of that mindset, you just try to tell an American that this is a country under judgment. And you'll find that the jingoism that's natural to most patriotic souls will suddenly get up in anger. This is not a country under judgment. I remember some years back when I was preaching in my home country, in Northern Ireland, and I had a very heavy message to bring, especially to Free Presbyterians. I had a great conference service. It took me many months of deep searching of heart to preach the message. And in some ways, that one message stands out as different from anything else that I ever preached in any circumstances, in any place. But in that message, it was part of the burden to make it clear that we as God's people would see the hand of the judgment of God on our home province. While most people were greatly smitten, there was a conviction in that meeting the like of which we rarely see. I will always remember one patriotic Ulster man walking out, and he was not at all happy. And while there had been no mention whatsoever of America, his whole thing was that anybody who could say that Ulster was under judgment was simply saying that America wasn't under judgment. I mean, the logic of that escaped me, but it just shows you that people like the Israelites can be living in the midst of the judgment of God. Now, I believe that if we had eyes to see, we would see the judgment of God much more widespread than we can discern it. According to Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But such is the depravity of the human heart. They don't believe it's the judgment of God. And furthermore, they don't believe it because they don't see any reason why God should judge them. When Dr. Bob Jones had the audacity, the temerity, to give the opinion that the plague of AIDS was a judgment on sodomy and on sodomites, my, he got into a firestorm. How dare he? Who on earth did this self-righteous Pharisee think that he was to be able to talk about the judgment of God on sodomy and sodomites? And then there were many learned, sometimes pseudo-theological defenses of the position that there is no reason for God to do this. And why would God judge this nation or this people or this segment of the people? There is no reason for it. there is a refusal of all calls to repentance and a continuing in the very abominations that call forth the judgment of God. That's the picture in Isaiah chapter 1. And that's the picture that you cannot help but see today. If you were to read Romans 1 from 18 through to verse 32, you would find that the very things for which God gave up civilizations in the past are true today. And the very things that mark God giving them up can be clearly seen today. I said this was a nation under judgment. I hear preachers again and again when they come to Romans 1. They expound it as the evidence of a sick society. But that's not what the Holy Ghost says. The Holy Ghost says this is the evidence of a society already under the judgment of God. That's what it says. And it's because of their ignorance of God, their suppression of truth. It is because of their corruption of the pure revelation of God. It is because of the prevalence of their idolatry that He gives them up to immorality. You will find that three times in Romans 1 it says, God gave them up. There is an ever-deepening plunge into the cesspool of iniquity and vicious wickedness of life. God giving them up. Wickedness with the judgment of God upon it. You read the same or a similar thing in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. The idea of incontinent is simply uncontrollable in their passions, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. There's the wickedness that is so prevalent today. But this evil is not merely an impersonal principle. Behind it lies that sinister, diabolic figure that is known in Scripture as the Evil One. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is an evil personage who blinds and darkens men, who incites them to viciousness and stirs up every wicked passion, who opposes truth, who fosters the lie, and who deceives men, appearing often as an angel of light. This is the evil that's in the world. But it also invades the church. In Paul's first epistle to Timothy, chapter 4, and in verse 1, the apostle warns that these are not things that are merely the concern of the world, but in the church. Now, I'm not going to take much time in this, but I have had cause in the past to draw your attention to this. There are many parts, especially of the professed evangelical church, that seem to have a fascination with Satan and Satanism. And they draw all the lurid details of the picture of Satanism and Satan worship. Now let me just say that all that they have ever dreamed in due course will appear in much worse form. When you get to the climactic period just before the coming of the Lord, satanic activity will be at an all-time high. So I'm not discounting its reality. But what grieves is that you have preachers who have made this a sort of certificate X Christian sort of entertainment. And you have people up testifying about the devil. I'm talking to the devil. And their conversations with the devil. And how they manipulate the devil or defeat the devil. And most of these people are living merely in a fantastic dream world. They know no more about confronting the devil. And if they ever had to confront the devil, they would be singing with a very different tune. But all the time, for the most part, they are silent on what the devil is really doing. You see, Satan is never more dangerous than when, if men's attention is going to be drawn to him, he can deflect it into areas that are ludicrous. And the whole idea of Satan at work in the world today is held up to ridicule by much of the fantastic nonsense that is being preached about his activity from many pulpits, while what he is truly doing is totally ignored. Now listen to what Paul said when he said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." This is Satanism. Wicked spirits and doctrines of devils speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving, and so on. What is the devil doing in the church? He is active, seducing people from the faith of the gospel. He is active in getting people to give heed to damnable doctrines, doctrines that damn the soul. To get them to embrace the lie rather than the truth. To embrace anti-Christianism in the name of Christianity. This is what the devil's about in these days. This is the great thrust of satanic energy in the church. When you look across Christendom today and you see that the great doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in the merits of Christ alone, without the addition of the merit of human works, when you see that that doctrine has been almost entirely given up throughout Christendom, you can trace it to the activity of Satan, blinding the minds of men, turning them from the truth to the lie.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.